Come on, praise his name. Come on, praise his name. He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise his name. Praise his name. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise his name. He deserves your best praise. Praise his name. Glory to the name of the Lord. For there's power in praising his name.
Amen.
Listen, when you decide to praise the Lord, he'll pull up a seat and sit in your midst. That's what it means that he inhabits. I don't know about you, but I want him in my presence. I want him among the people of God. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's a God in the midst. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What an awesome, what an authoritative, what an available God we serve. Aren't you glad he's here this morning? Come on, bless his name. We are blessed beyond measure, and we ought to be glad about it. It's good to be alive, alert and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we move and live and have our being. He has blessed us, and he is blessing us. And as one song says, ooh-wee, what a blessing. Matter of fact, help me say that to somebody. Look at them and say, ooh-wee, what a blessing. Come on, look at another that's willing to talk back to you and say, ooh-wee, what a blessing. Amen. You're looking at a miracle. You're looking at God's grace and his mercy. Ooh-wee, what a blessing. Glory to his name. Take out your devices again. And want you to be part of sharing the message of Christ with somebody who's near and dear you. Take out your devices, your phones. If you're on Facebook, go to Facebook, New Bethlehem, Bessemer, Alabama, and stroll until you find the video that says live and share. Amen. Share it with somebody. Listen, somebody is depending on you. Maybe be at the end of their rope. Maybe contemplating suicide. They may be lower than low. And they need a word from the Lord. And you're in the sanctuary about to hear a word. And you can be the link between them and God by sharing. You know, we had 50 some shares last Sunday, but our goal is to consistently have over 100 shares a week. If we believe the word of God needs to reach every ear, then we need to be participant in this sharing. Share the word of God. Be the expression of God's grace to many people. Listen, we are in terrible and turbulent times. We can't take for granted that everybody knows the Lord, because you have a lot of lost people. We're complaining about what's going on in our communities, but the way to change what's going on in our community is to share Christ. And Jesus is still saving souls. He's still claiming backsliders. Amen. He's still encouraging the discouraged. Share Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, choir, for singing so melodiously. Bless the Lord. for the choir. Thank you, deacons and trustees, for leading us in devotion. Thank you, preachers, in the persons of Pastor Meredith Walker and Reverend McCoy, for your participation, certainly to all of you who's under the sound of my voice. It's good for us to be here. Let me suggest it again. It's good for us to be here. It could have been another way. You could be lying flat on your back in some hospital or insane facility. But you here, clothed and in your right mind. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Thank you, media. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, by faith.
By faith.
Look at another and say, by faith.
By faith.
Help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith.
By faith.
Amen. We do it by faith. Without it, it is impossible to please God. With it, we can. And we do bring pleasure to the heart of God. For on this faith pilgrimage, we have to understand that it is not about our pleasure, but it's about God's pleasure. That he wants us to have faith. Faith being confidence in him, a conviction from his word, and a consciousness of his creative and sustaining power. Faith is more than a concept of the mind, that it is active. It is the force that propels us, that drives us forward in our obedience unto God. He wants us to live a life of faith. It is easy to have a conversation about faith, easier than having conduct of faith. That faith is action. It's to pursue God with all of who you are and with all of what you have by faith. For it is 19 by faith. In chapter 11, because God wants us to understand that faith is to be demonstrated. He says, by faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, the people of God. By faith, Rahab. That faith in God is obedience unto God, regardless of circumstances and consequences. Faith is not the result or the outcome of faith. It is not the result or outcome or of believing. It is believing in God itself. The reason I said that faith is not the outcome or the result of believing, because the text says in verse 13 that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Some translation says that they were persuaded. That you have to be persuaded of God if you are getting or not. That it is not receiving. It is not receiving. Faith is not receiving. It may cause you to receive, but it is not receiving itself, because these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, I'm persuaded. I have too much past experience with God to not be persuaded. I am persuaded. That's what Paul said in Romans, that he was persuaded that there was nothing that could separate him from the love of God. When you have had experiences with God, when you have walked with God and have talked with God, there ought to be some persuasion. I'm persuaded that God will make good of his promises. They had not received, but they were persuaded. So there was something greater than receiving that persuaded them. See, when God reveals himself to you, the tangibles that you receive from God are menial and meager to knowing God himself. So you can't make your faith about what you possess. Your faith has to possess you. That faith in God possesses you. They were possessed of faith, not possessing the promises of God. See, if you're doing it for what you can get out of it, you miss the message of the Bible. Because it's not for what you can get, it's in who gets you. They were persuaded that their relationship with God was not in vain, that God had made a promise, and the promise was far extended beyond what they could ascertain or what they could gather and receive in the flesh. Text reveals that they never owned a piece of land in Canaan. But they knew that the promise of God would come to pass, because God is faithful. It is Deuteronomy 7 verse 8. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandment. God is faithful. Psalms 100, David declared, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. It is Paul to his son in the ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Faithfulness is the character of God, and he cannot act against himself. If God said it, it's settled. Y'all look at somebody and tell them, if he said it, it's settled. You are safe on base. If God said it, it's settled. God God, he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God is faithful. It may not happen in your lifetime, but it's coming to pass. And some things you are claiming for your descendants. Some of what you are doing now is for the good of those who's coming along after you. And I want to encourage you today by telling you, listen, you need to establish, if you have not already, you need to establish a faith legacy. A faith legacy. You need to pass on your faith. That's what Paul said to Timothy when he was timid. He said, boy, you didn't just have faith in and of yourself. I saw it in your grandmama. I saw it in your mama. And now I see it in you. See, you can give them finances and not faith. You can give them a fortune and not faith. You can give them car keys and not faith. You can give them a house keys and not faith. But the greatest thing you can give your descendants is a faith legacy. That's why it went from Abraham to Jacob. Or from Abraham to Isaac and Isaac to Jacob. There was a faith legacy. Faith legacy. They believed by faith in the faithfulness of God. Listen, I just feel it pressed in my spirit to tell you. You have come too far to trade God in now. You know, I know things are bad, but he has brought you too far for you to trade him in now. You know, I just feel that press in my spirit. Somebody need to hear that today. Listen, I know you may be sick in your body, but God has kept your sick self all this time. You have come too far to trade him in now. Oh, he or she may have walked out on you, but God is still with you, and he brought you too far for you to trade him in now. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm come too far to trade him in now. If you were going to get me, you should have got me when I was a little younger down the road. But I'm too far to trade him in now. I'm persuaded because I have experiences with God that he's true to his word. Regardless of what I'm going through, the circumstances, he's true to his word. It is in verses 13 through 16, we get again a glimpse of Abraham and Sarah's life, where the text speaks of them and how they behave themselves in a strange land. That by faith, they were brought from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, and from Haran, God led them on into the promised land. That Abraham, by faith, was simply following God. Where God led him, he followed. Where God said go, he went. Because he trusted God. Sometimes what God says to us is strange and uncommon. He tells us to do some strange things according to humanity's standard. He tells us to go places and say things and all of that, and it's strange. Now, it's God, but it's strange, and it's strange to people. Now, the text says that by faith they lived as pilgrims and strangers in this world. They lived as pilgrims and strangers. They embraced what God said, and they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is a temporal dwelling place. It is not our homeland. It is foreign soil for us. If you have faith in Christ, if you've been born again, if you are the saved of God, if you are in the body of Christ, this is a strange land. I was studying a few months ago for a funeral, and I discovered that there's a lower country and there's a higher country. And life as we know it now is lived in the lower country. But there's a higher country that awaits us. And as long as we are in the lower country, with a higher country mindset, we are strange as being strangers in the lower country. Now, let me help you, because some of you have a problem with people pushing away from you. People don't like to hang around strange people. See, if they stop inviting you to some birthday parties and some get-togethers and some shindigs, you ought to be okay, because you live with the mind of the higher country. Listen, if they don't invite you, thank God. If they say to you, you act strange, thank God. If they call you and say there's something wrong with you, you don't act the way you used to act, you ought to have a praise party on the phone with them, because you now know that not only you see that you're strange, but they see that you're strange. See, when you're from somewhere else, you ought to be strange to the inhabitants of the land. Strangers and pilgrims. Abraham was called to go into a country he knew not of, nor did he know the inhabitants. But he followed God in Canaan, and in Canaan were the Ites. You know, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all of the Ites in the land. And God gave instructions: don't join yourself with people in the land. He told them that because bad company corrupts good manners. He had already been called out of a pagan society, out of an idolatrous society, to follow God, where God was not ashamed to be called his God. And he's in the land of Canaan, and God had already promised him that every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours for your descendants. But he was not to intermingle with the people in the land, because he was a stranger. He was a pilgrim. And being a pilgrim, there was temporal living conditions. Notice the word in verse 9, sojourn. Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign country. The word sojourn is translated from a Greek word that literally means to be a stranger. The idea is of someone who lives in a particular land but does not assimilate into the lifestyle and civilization of that place. In other words, stop trying to fit in. That God didn't call you to be like sinners, He called you out of darkness to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. You got to quit trying to fit in. You different. You look different. You talk different. You walk different. You laugh different. You sing different. You look different. You talk different. You different. Your hairstyle is different. Your clothes different. You bless different. You different. And listen, you have to acknowledge that in your life that you are different. You are not to be like everybody else, because if you like everybody else, you get what everybody else is getting. But God called you to be different. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. I'm different than the way I was 30 years ago. I'm different. You know how some people, you know, they want to hold your past against you and keep you in your past. But you're different. Listen, let me tell you something about being different. You make people uncomfortable, and what they want to do is invite you to come back to what you used to be. And if you go back to what you used to be and doing what you used to do, they will celebrate you for going back. They will enjoy the pleasure of having you back in the world, in a place that God has called you out of. I can't afford to go back. I'm different. My faith makes me different. Yeah, they'll celebrate with you your backwards motion. They're pulling on you to make you come back. Every conversation you're having, they talk about what y'all used to do when you were in the clubs, and how you used to smoke and how you used to drink and how you used to party, and they don't have any pleasure in what you're doing now because they want to draw you back. And you got to be careful of what you give your mind to, because the more you hear that mess, the more it's on your mind. Look at somebody and tell them, the more you hear that mess, the more it's on your mind. And you got to learn how to shift and change the channels of your mind. You don't have to think on what you used to do and what you used to be. You somebody new now. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. And all things pass away. And behold, all has become new. You looking at the new me now. This is the new me. By faith, I'm made anew. That I'm not going back. You're tempted to go back, and you have to watch your mind. Because whatever your mind settles on is what you'll find yourself doing. But you got to change the channel of your mind. See, that's why the Bible says, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on the higher country and not on things beneath. See, so when you set your mind on things above, God governs your life. That's why the song says, I'll look unto the hills from whence come my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. You are a stranger, and you live as strangers and pilgrims in the land, that there is no permanent dwelling place for you here. You're not here to stay. I don't care how you try to tend to that body. That tent is wearing and tearing every day. See, the things you used to do, you can't do anymore because the tent is wearing and tearing every day. You know, so temporal dwelling place, we're tempted to go back. So we have to see from afar off where we're going. And my mind is on heaven. I'm going. I don't care how much you say go to hell, I'm not going. I'm not going. Matter of fact, it sounds better to me to just say I ain't going. You can say it all you want. My mind is on heaven. So it is by faith they were persuaded of what was really ahead. Boy, I wish I could preach this like I feel it. They were persuaded of what was ahead. Verse 16. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, in being persuaded, there has to be a perspective on where they were really headed. Where you were really headed. They were going to a better country, a far better place than where they were. The Hebrew writer called it the better country, the better country, the better country is heaven. Heaven is the home of the holy God, God's holy habitation. They were going to God's holy habitation. God's holy habitation is completely free from any impure thing or person. Heaven is perfect. Heaven is perfect. Heaven is perfect. Oh, we can't say the same thing about earth because earth is not perfect, but heaven is perfect. There is no fear in heaven, no sorrow in heaven, no dread in heaven, no suffering in heaven, no sickness, no pain in heaven, no evil, no violence, no vandalism, no scandal. No death in heaven. Heaven is a place of perfection. And they saw it from afar off. I'm on my way to heaven. Paul longed for heaven when he said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 that it is a far better place because it is where God in his holiness habitates. He says, for thus said the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place. That's what Isaiah said to us, that heaven is higher and is holy. There's nothing low about it. It's high. It is the place where God is high and lifted up. It is the place where his glory is high, where his grace and peace and joy is high. It is a place where all of the attributes of God are high. It is a place where God is set aside as God. And there is no one like God. He's separated above all else. That makes him holy. It's the place where we see God undisturbed and unveiled. That we will see him face to face. Oh, I want to see him. And look upon his face. Oh, when I see his face, the pureness of his face, the holiness of his face, the holiness of his being, I just want to fall down on my face and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for how you led me through rivers and valleys. Thank you, Lord, for how you led me over hills and mountains. Thank you, Lord, for how you guided me through seen and unseen dangers. Thank you, Lord, for how you took care of me in all of my troubles and in all of my situations and circumstances. Is there anybody here, when you get in the presence of God, all you got is thank you? Because God is good. If we got it or not, God is good, because God is God. If you don't give me another house, I'm all right with that. If you don't give me another car, I'm all right with that. If you don't give me more rags, I'm all right with that, because God is God. And he's God all by himself. If I don't have it yet, he's still God. If it's on his way, he's still God. If I got it, he's still God. And I'm praising his name, because faith is not the consequence or the reward of believing. Faith is believing in God himself. God prepared a place for us, and it makes it good. And we can praise his holy name, because God does nothing in vain. If he prepared a place, he's preparing us to be in the place. And one of these glad mornings, when this life is over, we will fly away to be at yonder's rest. Is there anybody here? Thank God for a prepared place, that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we will be also. And so as people pass away that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to tell them bye. You need to tell them see you later, because one of these old days, Jesus is going to ride down on the chariot, and he's going to have his angels to blow the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who remain will be caught up together to meet Jesus in there. Ain't the Lord right? I want to go with Jesus, because it's a land of no sorrow. It's a land of no sickness. It's a land of no suffering. But it's a land of joy. I'm going to shout my troubles over. It's a land of peace. It'll guard my mind. It's a land of healing. It's a land of wholeness. Is there anybody here who can high five some neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to heaven because the Lord said so. I'm going to heaven because it's in his word that if I got faith in his song, I'm all right. The winds may blow, the rains may descend, the floodwaters may rise, the fire may burn, but that's all right. I got my business fixed, and it is well with my soul. You ought to look at somebody and say, neighbor, it's well with my soul. Why is it well with your soul? Because Jesus came down through 42 generations. He walked the dusty streets of Palestine for 33 and a half long years. He marched up the Via Dolorosa. One Friday, they marched him up the hill and nailed his hand to the cross. They ribboned his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head. They laughed and mocked him because they thought the story was over and they had conquered the Savior. They messed around and lifted him up, and he said, if I be lifted from the earth, I'll draw all men to myself. Ain't he all right?
been drawing for over 2,000 years. He drew my grandmother. He drew my daddy. He drew my mother. He drew Reverend Walker. He drew Reverend McCoy. He drew you. If you're glad he drew you, why don't you stand on your feet and celebrate the Lord, because he's been drawing ever since they hung him on the cross. He died out on that cross, put him in a borrowed tomb. He held the tomb for Friday night. He held it for Saturday morning and Saturday night, and gave it back Sunday and said, I don't need it, because I got all power in my hand. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah.
The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today. If you're not saved, give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. Come. Secondly, if you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart, that we will be a faith family to you. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open to you, that he will restore you. I said this is a terrible and tough, trying time that we're in, and sometimes we're weakened in our faith. We're not always strong. But thanks be to God that he's a restoring God, that he can strengthen your faith, that your fellowship of him would be what he desired to be. He don't want you to be as Peter was when he followed afar off after denying the Lord, or before denying the Lord three times. He wants you to have close and intimate faith, close and intimate relationship and fellowship with him, so that your mind don't play games on you and trick you to go back. You know, because the world is attractive, and Satan talks loud, and he orders people to talk loud to get your attention, to draw you back. Sometimes it's in the silence of your own humble abode you hear that little voice say to you, you had it better when you were smoking, laying and playing. Because now that you're saved, you know, it is as the whole world is against you. And may very well be. Because when you're not of the world, you're an enemy of the world. And he didn't promise you that you will live a life void of struggle, attack. That you will live a life void and empty of sickness and suffering. But one thing I can guarantee you is that your life in Christ is far better than your life was in the world. Because I hear him say, if I be for you, I'm more than the whole world against you. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. No stress. no tribulation, no nakedness or famine, sword or peril, nothing. Not even death or life. That you have to be persuaded of that. And that persuasion will help steady and settle your mind so you don't be tossed to and from, or to and fro, with every wind of doctrine. Because everything sound good may not be good. I can't go back. I want y'all to say that with me today. I can't go back. No, I can't go back. I don't care what I go through in this life. I can't go back. Satan thought he had me with the pandemic, but I can't go back. I got to stay with God. Because I got experience. I got experiential knowledge. That sticking with God is victory. I don't understand all that I'm going through, but I trust God. And I understand it better by and by. Listen, stay with God. And if you're not with God, come now. And let him be Lord of your life, Savior of your life, by believing in Jesus Christ and his atoning work, sacrificial work on Calvary. And he died, but God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you're saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Secondly, come. You need a church home. That those who are watching on Facebook, sermon audio, YouTube, it is not by accident this message met you and is face to face with you, because you too have the appeal to be saved. You can be saved if you believe in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. He found you. He found you. He found you. Now it's time for you to respond to him in faith. Lord, I believe you with all I got and with all I am. Come today if you're not saved. Come today if you're backslidden. Come today if you're in need of a church home. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you all the way. All the way from earth. A mighty good leader. Come on here. He's a mighty good leader. still here, but somebody here can be a witness that he lent your mother. One more round. He's a mighty good leader.
All the way.
He's a mighty good leader. Come on. He's a mighty good leader.
He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader.
All the way.
All the way. May the grace of God, the love of Christ Jesus, the communing of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say amen.